We're going to conclude our consideration of the first chapter this morning, or this evening. So we're going to start in verse 10. So Joshua 1 at verse 10 is where we continue our reading. And that's found on page 210, Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse 10. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, "Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, 'Prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in and take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess.' And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said," and here's our focus, "remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, 'The Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you. And they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it, the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan towards the sunrise.' They all answered Joshua, 'All that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him, shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous.'" And that's as far as we're reading in Joshua. Again, our text is found in verse 13. "Remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you." Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, do you have a hard time remembering? If you are like me, when someone is introduced to you and they tell you their name or you hear their name once, it's very easy to forget. I've taken on personally, when someone gives me their name, I have taken on the tradition of writing that name down, because if I don't write it down, I'll never remember it. Remembering is something that we are all called to do. It's easy to forget, easy to lose track of things and to forget what we once knew. But as you may remember, the Bible calls us to remember many times. Even last week, we looked at the Bible passage. It said, "Remember Lot's wife." One of the things that we are called to do in remembering is we're called to constantly bring to mind, to meditate upon the words of the Lord. In fact, as you might remember in reading from Deuteronomy chapter 6, that's after the reading of the law, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses says to the parents, "Parents, teach your children. Talk about the law. Talk about it when you sit down. Talk about when you rise up. Talk about it when you leave your house. When you return home, write it on your door frames. Write it on your foreheads. Write it on the palms of your hand. Remember, meditate, think about God's word." And interestingly, in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 15, we read earlier, just a few minutes ago, David reminds the people to remember God's covenant. To remember God's covenant, the word which he commanded it to 1,000 generations. So as the ark is being brought into the tent, into the tabernacle, David is saying this song to the people, remember God's covenant, remember his word. And an interesting change in Psalm 105, it is the Lord who remembers his covenant. It's almost verbatim. What David sings in 1 Chronicles 16, the people are to remember the word of the Lord, remember his covenant, remember that he is faithful. The Lord says to himself, or about himself in Psalm 105, "The Lord, I remember my covenant, the word commanded to 1,000 generations." So not only are God's people to remember the covenant, the Lord himself remembers his covenant, assuring us that he is faithful and he will do it. Well, as we're concluding chapter 1 in our series through Joshua this evening, we are going to see that there is a chain of command. There is a passing on of the baton. So the chain of command is going from Joshua to the elders, the leaders of the people, to the people in general, the populace. There is this commandment from the top, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, down to the people, be strong and courageous. And they respond by saying, be strong and courageous. And what encourages the people to be strong and courageous is to remember. Remember God's covenant. Remember that he is faithful. Remember what he said he will do. He is doing, he will surely do it. God's faithfulness is what encourages them to be strong and courageous. So this evening we look at this theme. Jesus Christ calls the church to remember the promises of the Lord as they wait for the promises to be fulfilled. Jesus Christ calls the church to remember the promises of the Lord while they wait for those promises to be fulfilled. And our text is found in verse 13. Remember the word commanded by the Lord. In our first point then, we are going to see why this commandment to remember is so important. And the reason it's so important is because it's so difficult to remember. Why did Joshua need to remind this group of people, maybe a million people plus, to remember? Had they forgotten? Had they forgotten here standing on the edge of the promised land? Obviously God would keep his word. Did they doubt that God was faithful? Well, we have to remember what the Israelites were going through. They were going through a very difficult time, this transition period. Moses had died. The one who was the mouthpiece of the Lord, who had spoken face to face with the Lord, receiving the law from the hand of the Lord, had just passed away. Will the promise remain intact as we move from Moses to Joshua? Having a new leader, does God forget his promise? Does the promise die when the messenger dies? Secondly, we have to remember that the people the Israelites are going up against, we looked at this a few weeks back, the context in which they're receiving this promise of the land, looking at the people in the land of Canaan, they were giants. They were huge. The Israelites viewed themselves as grasshoppers. It was a land of great military advancement. Iron chariots. And here you had some shepherds going against a superior army. Thirdly, we have to remember what took place at this exact same time, a previous generation. You might remember back in Numbers 13, the Israelites were in the exact same place. In Numbers 13, at Kadesh Barnea, the Israelites had sent out the spies into the land. They had saw the land flowing with milk and honey, and the people, instead of taking in as the Lord had promised, they are filled with fear, they are filled with worry, doubt, fear. They are overwhelmed by the fear of man. And thus, instead of going into the promised land, they had to return to the desert to wander for 40 years. Thus, that entire generation died in the wilderness. So we have to keep in mind the context right here on the edge of the promised land. Their parents had rebelled. Would they commit the same sin of the previous generation? So Joshua is reminding them, do not forget the word. Remember God's covenant. Remember the word spoken. And specifically in this context with Joshua chapter 1, the word to remember is spoken to the 2.5 tribes. So we have, as verse 12 says, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh. We are still on the east side of the Jordan, and the Lord has promised by way of Moses to give this land on the east side of the Jordan to these 2.5 tribes. So you have 2.5 of the 12 tribes are already in possession of their land. Their wives are taking care of their tents or their homes. They have their sheep in the sheep pens. They are established. They are settled. They are content. And now you have the commandment to go. So the context for these particular people, for these 2.5 tribes, they already had everything they desired. They had the land. They had possession. They were satisfied. They were at rest. But Joshua says to them, remember the word of the Lord. Do not grow content here. Your work is not yet finished. You are still in the militant army of God, the church militant. Go forth. Don't forget your brothers. Don't forget to do the work. You must go forth. Don't neglect your kinsmen. Just because you are at ease does not give you the right to neglect or forsake those who need you and your strength. So think not only of yourself, think of others as you remember the word of the Lord. There is more work to be done. He is not done using you. So it's for those reasons that it's always important to remember the call to remember God's word. Because the fact is, not only like the Israelites here in this particular context, we all in our lives have challenges. We have challenges that tempt us to forget, to lull us to sleep. When we look around us, we see wars and rumors of wars. We see a physical upheaval, sickness, disappointment. It looks like less and less people in North America are going to church. We have the church that appears to be in decline. We have the doubt. We have the false teaching, prosperity gospel, social gospel. We have attacks on the truth. We see a lot of things that are going around in this world today, tempting us to forget God's promises, to doubt God's promises. Added to that, we do not see the victory that Jesus has promised. 2 Peter 3 makes it very clear. It is tempting as we look around us to see the world not as we are promised it will be. We might be tempted to think the Lord has forgotten His word, that Jesus is not coming back. We've been promised in the Bible that the enemy has been trampled, that death has been defeated, that Satan's head has been crushed, that the armies of darkness are defeated. And then we look around us and we say, it doesn't look that way. So like the Israelites, it's always tempting to forget or to doubt God's word, to doubt His promises. So the challenge to our faith remains the same as it did for the Israelites. Do we live by faith or do we live by sight? Do we judge the faithfulness of God by what we perceive with the physical eyes of the flesh, or do we go back to the Word and say, this is what God's Word says, I'm going to cling to it, even if I don't see it? So the main challenge to remembering God's Word are these three: the passing of time, the presence of challenges and trials, and the temptation to become comfortable in this world. The same three challenges that the Israelites faced here on the edge of the land of Canaan. But as we continue, the call to remember does not come in a vacuum. There are things, encouragement in the text itself, which should be stirring the Israelites up in their call of remembering and their call to believe. So Joshua puts the call in verse 13 to remember the word of the Lord in the context of the Lord's work in the past and His promises in the future. God is faithful. Look at how God has been faithful for you, for the Israelites, as He watched over you, protected and provided for you through this 40 years. God gave you manna. God gave you quail. God gave you water. God protected you from the armies of darkness which wanted to wipe you out. Not only will God go with you, verse 5 says, He'll go with you as you go forth. God keeps His promises. We heard this earlier from Psalm 105. That the Lord remembers His promise, He keeps His covenant forever. Or Matthew chapter 5, the smallest part of God's word will not fall to the ground. Every aspect, every promise of God's word will be upheld and will be fulfilled. Or 1 Peter 1, the word of the Lord endures forever. So when we are tempted to doubt the promises of the Lord, to doubt his faithfulness, to doubt that he will keep his covenant, we have to go back and look at what the Lord has done. Look at our history. Look at how the Lord has brought his people out of bondage, out of slavery, rescuing them from the foe time and time again. Remember who God is. Who is the Lord? Is our Father like a man who would lie, who would deceive, who would cheat? Surely God is faithful because he is God. He cannot and he will never lie. So we have a faithful Father who is true, who when he says something, means it, and by the power of his hand will fulfill it. Added to that, we have a faithful Savior, Jesus. Jesus, who is the yes and the amen to all of God's promises. Jesus Christ, by his very office, fulfills the promises of God, fulfills the promises of the Father. And we also have the Spirit. Who is the Spirit? The Spirit is the down payment and guarantee. So when you look at the identity of our God, we have a Trinitarian comfort. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit reinforcing, reaffirming the fact that God is faithful. He will do it because that's who he is. So we can meditate on it, as verse 8 says. We can meditate on God's word. We remember God's word. We call these truths to mind. C.S. Lewis, in The Silver Chair, you might remember one of the problems start when the children forget. They forget the signs, right? As God's people, we have to remember God's word, remember who God is. And this will calm and quiet our anxious hearts. So the Israelites had to go back, read again what God has done, bring to mind what God has done, meditate upon his word, and remember who he is. As we come to our final point then, what exactly is God promising to these people? Well, what God promising to the Israelites as they're here on the edge of the promised land? Well, the content of the blessing can be seen in three aspects. First of all, the blessing is a gift of grace. Secondly, the blessing is the gift of land. And third, it is a blessing of rest. So first of all, the blessing that God is going to give to his people, to the Israelites, is a blessing that he graciously gives. Look at verse 13 again. Verse 13, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. So who is providing the place? It is the Lord that is providing the place. Who is going to give the Israelites the land of Canaan? I know some of our children, I remember that children's song, I'm going to look at this in a few weeks, but who fought the battle of Jericho? It wasn't Joshua that fought the battle of Jericho. Who is going to give this land to the people? It is a gift of grace. The Israelites aren't going to earn this. They're not going to work for it. It's going to be graciously given to them. As verse 11 continues, the Lord your God is giving you this land to possess. It was promised to Abraham. God keeps his word and will graciously bestow the gift upon this people. Secondly, the specific blessing is seen in the reception of land. Verse 11 and verse 13, you will take possession of the land and you will have a specific place. So wherever Abraham pitched his tent in that land of the Middle East is going to be the specific place that the Lord is going to give to these Israelites. The inheritance promised to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12 will be the land that is received. It's not another land, it is this specific land in accordance with God's promise. And then thirdly, upon reception and entering into this land, you will have rest, says there in verse 13, that God is providing you a place of rest. Now this word for rest in the Hebrew here, it's nuach. It means a place of quiet, still contentment, and peace. The closest I can think of it in today's context would be after a hard day of working outside, working in the sun, sweating. You go inside, you take a nice cool shower, you have a glass of lemonade, and you sit in your easy chair, and you're at rest, at peace, right? That's basically the idea that's being brought to mind here. The Israelites are going to be like sheep brought into the promised land. They're going to be able to lay down in green pastures beside still waters as a land flowing with milk and honey. So there's a quiet fulfillment. There's no fear of enemies attacking, only security and tranquility. That's this place of rest that the Israelites are going to receive. Now you might be asking yourself the question, why do we need to know about this? How does this benefit us? What's the application here? We're not Canaanites. We're not on the edge, or we're not Israelites on the edge of the land of Canaan. We're not going into this specific land. What's the point here? What are we to learn of this? Well, we have to remember that there are similarities between our situation and the Israelites, right? Instead of following Joshua, we're following our New Testament Joshua, Jesus Christ. He's the one leading us, right? He is leading us by bestowing upon us a gift of grace. Remember the first aspect of this gift is that it is graciously given. We receive it by grace. Let me ask you this. Have you earned your salvation? Have you earned entrance into the land that is to come? It's gracious, just like the Israelites. Graciously given the land, you are graciously given your salvation, a gift of grace. Secondly, the Israelites were given a land. We too are promised land. We are promised a better country, heavenly Jerusalem, Hebrews 11, verse 6. We have a better country to look forward to, the Mount of Zion. So we, like the Israelites, are graciously granted possession of an inheritance, land, a land flowing with milk and honey, not here below, but up in glory, that land, that home that Jesus Christ is preparing for us. Then third aspect is upon entering into that land, we have rest. What does Hebrews have to say about this? Hebrews chapter 4, a time of eternal rest exists for God's people. So you see the three aspects that the Israelites received upon being brought into the land, graciously given, reception of land, and entering rest, apply to us today. We have the entrance into the eternal land of rest, that heavenly Jerusalem that we have to look forward to. So although our location is not the same, by faith we have the trust in the same God who keeps his promises, who is faithful, and he will surely do it. So as the Israelites are now being brought into the promised land, they must hold on to the promises of God. Hold on to the promises of God, remembering who God is, his character, and what God has said, his word. So Jesus Christ calls his church to remember the promises of the Lord as we wait for God to keep his promises. So when we read the promises of God's word that apply to our future, right? The resurrection of the dead, the life of the world to come, that heavenly Jerusalem coming down, streets of gold, gates of pearl, dwelling together with God's people, no sin, no stain, no tears, no sorrow, no sickness, no death. These things are promised to us. We have to hold on to those promises as we remember the promises and remember the character of God, that he's faithful. God cannot lie. Jesus Christ is the yes and the amen. And the Holy Spirit is the guarantee. So God is faithful. He will do it. We live by faith, faith that trusts God to keep his word. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this reminder that you are faithful. And may we, as your people, remember your word, remember your promises, remember who you are as our God. Help us learn to trust in you more. To trust in Jesus, your Son, our appointed leader, mediator, savior, and friend. We thank you that entrance into that heavenly land of rest has been graciously secured for us by Jesus Christ. And right now he is preparing a place for us, that where he is, we will also be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.